I'm very prophetic. So I think about the month we're in, which is the number 5. We're in the 5th month. We're in the month of grace. And not only are we in the month of grace, but today is the 10th day, which is the day of completeness. And as I was sitting here and as I was going through the Word of God, God gave me grace to walk through this text. And what I was going to do is so funny. I used to write manuscripts, like, word by word. And I used to get scared that I would lose my space. And I'd be like, Lord, where am I going to find it? But I prayed a special prayer, and I said, Lord, speak through me. I said, give me what you want to say. And so the Lord has done that. So I'm going to literally walk through this passage with you, and I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. So many of us are familiar with the story of Hannah. Hannah was a woman who thought she was barren. She thought she was barren. But what we heard in verse 6, it said, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. The Lord had closed Hannah's womb. So I want you all to understand that every closed womb is not the enemy. Every closed womb is not the enemy. Sometimes we think when things are happening to us or when we're waiting, we feel like we may be barren or like God is not going to do it for us, but he is going to do it at the appointed time. Somebody say appointed time. Yes, Lord. And it said, even in verse 6, it said, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And though the Lord had ordained Hannah to produce, he made her watch someone do over and over again the thing that she desired to do. How do you respond when God is doing the very thing that you want done in your life for somebody else? How do you respond? It says that Hannah responded, listen, as her rival. Rival means she was competing. Come on, somebody. How many times do we find ourselves competing with what God has already said we are? We're just needing to wait for the appointed time. But Hannah, watch this. She said it was her rival. But when I looked at that, it said her rival, not God's. It was her rival. And it irritated her. And the first thing I thought about when I hear irritation is a pearl. Because you know we always talk about how pearls are formed through irritation. And let me tell you how the Lord worked this word. I went and looked up what Penina meant. Penina was the one that was actually provoking her. Penina meant pearl. And I said, look at this. I said, if we're not careful with the perspective that we have, we will find ourselves competing with somebody who being just who God called them to be. She was being who she was. And what happened was Hannah lost her sight. Hannah forgot what her meant, her name meant. Her name meant grace and favor. Somebody say grace and favor. But when you look at the wrong place and you get your attention and focus on the wrong thing, you will become irritated and forget the place, the position, and the status that God had already blessed you with. It said, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. So what do you do when you're met with anguish, agony, torment, misery, suffering, heartache? How do you respond? Hannah is an excellent example because what she did is pray to the Lord. Verse 10, it said, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed. Is that the first place we go to? When we're hit with the issues of life, are we going to the right source? If we're honest, we don't. We go to things that are false comforts. Hannah was actually so upset to the point that she didn't eat. They had provoked her. She was so irritated that she stopped eating. And you know what it made me think of? It was a fast of her flesh. And what I mean by that is, it was a, and I took the acronym FAST, it was a food aversion showing trauma. Let me say that again. It was a food aversion showing trauma. She didn't eat because she was in trauma. How many of us can witness and attest to that, that sometimes life will hit you so hard that you lose your appetite? Come on, somebody. Or are you on the other end of the spectrum? The food addict. Oh, come on, somebody. Showing trauma. We can't seem to put that cupcake down. Come on, somebody. We find ourselves standing in that pantry, one after the next. But the thing that I loved even about that, God was able to discern between Hannah's fasting and praying. And when Hannah began to pray, she began to petition the Lord. She revealed how she felt. In verse 10, it says she wept bitterly, which means she didn't sugarcoat with God how she was feeling. She came there year after year after year. Come on, somebody. We don't like to wait 10 minutes for nothing, okay? But could you imagine how she felt to want something year after year after year? And so she wept bitterly. But the difference that I like to pull out is that her tears became the avenue by which she was able to release deep-seated resentment. Her tears. Sometimes we don't understand that our tears can release the bitterness that life pokes us with. Ain't nothing wrong with crying. Some people think it's an issue. It's not. It's a cleansing of your soul. And so even though Hannah wept bitterly, that's what she was, bitter, her tears allowed God to process her in such a way that now her ear, his ear was receptive to her. Can you all show the picture on the screen for me? Your ear is a womb. Y'all know what? I'm over here just messing up, y'all. I didn't tell y'all my sermon title. Prayers that opens wombs. Prayers that opens wombs. So if you could put that picture back on the screen. Your ear is a womb. So you know what? Even though it's a Mother's Day, this sermon is for everybody. We all have ears. And what you hear will eventually be conceived and birthed. So choose carefully what you listen to. So it said that Hannah was praying to the Lord, and she wept bitterly. She got in front of God. God heard her. Little did she know, year after year, I believe in my Holy Ghost imagination, God was moving her towards the person he always knew she was. Hannah was a mother before she ever prayed this prayer. Hannah did not realize who she was, but God knew. And I believe year after year, it was a coming into the fruition of who she was. And so she makes this vow. And she, well, let me go back. No, I'm right. She made the vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. Some people might call Hannah desperate because in this prayer, she was willing to make a vow to God. I don't hear many people making vows to God anymore. Covenant is God making a vow to man between God and humanity, but a vow is a solemn promise that you make to God that you're going to keep your word. Hannah made this vow and she surrendered her thoughts of what a mother would be in order to get this son. Hear Anna prays the powerful prayer that touches the ear of God. She said, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. She consecrated her seed before it ever hit her womb. Let me talk to mothers on today right here. Are you consecrating what God is giving you to birth? Are you taking the things that you have a desire for to the Lord? Are you saying to him, Lord, this is what I'm giving unto you. I'm going to give you a vow that if you do what it is that I'm asking of you, I'm petitioning of you, I will give it back to you. How many of us as mothers are giving back to God our children? How many of us are giving back our worship? How many of us are giving back our businesses? How many of us are giving back our wounds, the things that have hurt us? Lord, I'm giving it back. If you do these things for me, I will do what you're asking of me. Hannah made a vow to let go of the very idea of what she thought a mother would be. Could you imagine moms making this vow to God, knowing that you're going to have to give that child away? She knew that when she was making this vow, that she was going to have to turn him back to the Lord. And then this is what happens in verse 12. And it said, and she kept praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth, but Hannah was praying in her heart. And her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Going back to that picture, that womb, Eli could not discern the frequency of the spirit of her prayer. Hannah was praying from her soul. Her mouth was moving, but there was no voice. And I want you all to understand that when you're praying from a place, don't get upset when someone misses the frequency of heaven concerning what you're praying about. Hannah could have got offended. Come on, somebody. Well, you know, if you would have asked me, I would have told you I was praying to the Lord and then been bypassed her blessing. The very thing she was praying for. But I love how she responded. She said, oh, no, my Lord, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. When is the last time you poured your soul out to the Lord? When is the last time you got before him and said, Lord, I ain't got it all together, but I know you do. God is waiting for us to pour out our souls to him so that he can make ready what it is that he wants to give to you. So in verse 17, it says, Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Now, mind you, Eli doesn't know what her prayer was. Eli don't know her prayer. But this part right here is for the men of God. Men of God, how powerful you are. Men of God, how powerful are your words. God showed me something in this text about the voice of Eli, a man of God. Hannah toiled for years concerning this. Eli said one word, "May the Lord grant you what you asked for." And God heard him. Men of God, open your mouth. Take on your priestly robes. The women of God are toiling when all it takes is one word from you. Eli had power in his tongue. And although he watched this, was in error, because he did not know what Hannah was doing, he quickly got in alignment when he understood what she was praying for. And so he said, "May the God and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And then verse 27, it says, "I pray for this child." So by this time, Hannah done had the baby. God did what she asked. Let's just praise God for that. Hallelujah. God did what she asked. And so she goes in verse 27, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. How hard it must have been to wean a child and give him to someone else to raise. The very thing that you prayed to God for over and over and over again. You kept your promise. How many of us are keeping our promise to the Lord? She kept her promise and she gave him back to the Lord. I know that Eli probably did not even remember her, because even in the text it said, "Do you remember me? I was the one that you prayed for a couple of years ago to have this son." Eli had no idea. And this is why it's important, men of God, to understand that your prayer is answering things for you too. Samuel was a prophet, a priest, and the one that elected the kings and anointed them. Samuel grew up in the house of Eli. Did he know that his prayer would come knocking on his door? So, men of God, be prepared. Be prepared that when you open your mouth and God does what he says he's going to do, that he might ask you to steward something. He might ask you to take some time out with somebody. He might ask you to do some things that's going to cause you to take some time with someone. But I thank God for Hannah, because she gives us a blueprint of how to open a womb. She had a unique way to open a womb. And these are four things I'm going to leave with you, and then I'm going to sit down. Four things that opens wombs. Irritation. God will allow what seems like a threat or something that seems harmful to enter into your life. He gives the enemy access to irritate and provoke you. But God is producing something greater in you, so stay in the process. God is making something beautiful out of every trial and every test that you face. Irritations can either cause infection or they can drive you to cover it in prayer. It's up to you how you allow it to process you. Intercession, that's the second eye that opens wounds. God loves intercessors, especially when their desires collide with his purpose, his plan, and his will. Intercessors are the vehicles by which God brings his agenda on earth. Intercessors pray on earth as it is in heaven. So align your words with what heaven is saying and watch God grant you an open womb. The third eye, intention. Somebody say intention. God judges the intention of your heart. Perhaps the years of waiting that Hannah did was to purify the intention of her heart. The same is with us. God is a judger of the heart. And until we get that right, he will not release to us what we have not surrendered and what is not aligned with his will. And the last I is invitation. This is the last but most important I. When we invite God into our situation, we give him room to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. Invitations open God's compassion, and it ushers us into repentance and brings comfort beyond our understanding. You want to know what opens wounds? That's what opens wounds. If you're a mother today praying for her child that seems to be lost in this season, don't stop praying. If you're a wife praying for your husband to return home, don't stop praying. If you're a woman who is struggling with infertility, don't stop praying. If you are a mother mourning the loss of a child, don't stop praying. If you are a child grieving the loss of a mother, don't stop praying. If you're a man struggling to produce what God has spoken to you, don't stop praying. If you're a man struggling to carry what God assigned you to carry, don't stop praying. If you are a man struggling to believe God and what he said concerning you, don't stop praying. Prayer opens wombs. No matter which womb you have, whether it is your ear, whether it is a physical womb, don't miscarry in this season. The appointed time is now. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not of us. So your womb doesn't have to be a tomb. Now you know the secret today on how to open a womb. What have you been believing God for? What has touched your heart? What are you mourning and grieving about? What thing has God not done yet? Let this be, this story be a way to align yourself with the will of God. Allow prayer to open up a womb. Allow what you allow to enter into your ears be that which is the word of God, because the only thing that will stand at the end of time is God's word.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.